You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:55pm with Natalie Kerry, Craig Forsyth and Paddy Aspel in the studio. Three meetings this Thursday. We've got jumping from Chepstow and Ludlow, accompanied by All Weather Racing on the Tappeter at Wolverhampton. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is none other than Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Very good afternoon, Mark. I'm very well. Still in a state of meltdown, I think, after the Cheltenham Festival. You know what I mean? All those highs, just too much. Too many E's for me. Too many loads of alcohol. Too much just fabulous racing.
Yeah.
Wonderful stuff. And I'm just to say, I'm just in meltdown now. Just trying to get back to reality.
Yeah.
Trying to realise what Wednesday's stroke Thursday's racing is all about.
What pays the bills until the festival comes around.
Exactly, exactly. Well, we've got a big festival before that. You know that. I know that. We've got the start of the flap.
Yeah. We've got the Brocklesby in a few weeks. That's the one of the highlights.
That's usually what you think is the opening day of the flat, innit? And then you've obviously got the Lincoln handicap the next day sort of thing. But, yeah, that Brocklesby, that's interesting now, innit?
It is. It looks like we're going to see a Wesley Ward runner.
Heavens to Murgatroyd.
We've seen him at Royal Ascot with a few speedsters in the past, and he's targeting one at the Brocklesby, which will be interesting.
Yeah, well, again, word on the street has been that this has been sort of imminent for a few weeks now that he was going to target this race. And, again, it's an interesting move, that is for sure. He's obviously a talented trainer. He knows his two-year-olds inside out. And as you say, we've seen his speedsters at the Royal Meeting in the past. I suppose the thing about we'll have to think about is, at this time of year, would his type of horse go on the ground that we'd more than likely expect to get at Doncaster? You know what I mean? We're not going to get that quick conditions at Donny, are we? But, you know, he'll be aware of that, that is for sure. And, you know, it's all interesting stud, or even stuff. And to be fair, it's a little bit of a boost for Doncaster because it just creates a little bit of a talking point prior to that race, doesn't it? So, yeah, I think it's all good, actually.
Yeah. It looks like he's targeting a few races in France as well. That might be due to the ground. If it's a bit soft over here, it might be slightly better in France. There's some very positive comments about Creator Dream, who he's going to bring to the Brocklesby. Apparently, he works all his two-year-olds on the turf to see if any of them have Royal Ascot potential. And this filly in particular soared right to the top of the board there. So,
yeah, I mean, like I say, I don't think they're tilting at wheel mills with this filly. That is for sure. They're here to do one thing and one thing only: win.
Let's not move on to the flat just yet, though, Pimmy.
No, exactly.
We've got the Grand National meeting at Aintree to look forward to. And Paddy Aspel is quite confident. He's saying he can be the first to do the Grand National hat-trick. Never been done in the 177-year history of the race. Yeah. But he's got a good chance, hasn't he?
He's got an absolutely fabulous chance, to be perfectly honest. And the great thing is that he's actually recognised that chance, and he's bullish about it as well. I think the great thing about Many Clouds is that prior to last year's race, Oliver Sherwood said this is a real nice horse. He is a national horse, but possibly not this year.
Yeah.
He goes and wins the race. And the big plus for me is that he's come out this year and continued in great form. Put up a really good performance at Kelso last time out. Obviously, with the burden of top weight, 11 stone 10, that's not going to be an easy task if there's something lurking there that's an improver. But by the same token, he's got the experience of the fences. He's been in great heart this season. And again, I think the big plus is taking on board what Sherwood said. As an eight-year-old, this was going to be his opportunity. So I think he's more than a realistic chance of doing it, Paddy Aspel. And again, wouldn't it be brilliant?
It would. It'd be superb. It'd be great because it'd be the first horse to follow up since Red Room. It'd be the first ever Grand National jockey to win three in a row. So it'd be be historic.
And I think, again, you know, it's nice to see the records books being rewritten now and again. And I think that would make a great story. So fingers crossed that that's the case.
He's 8-1 at the top of the market for the Grand National Many Clouds. So Viniaco Conti and The Last Samurai both 12. 16s for Gooniella and Holywell. The Druid's Nephew and other 16s and 20s or bigger for the others.
I think the two second favourites are interesting. Silviana Conti came good last time out, and The Last Summarise done nothing but improve and impress since he's joined Kim Bailey. So they're two major players as well. Holywell, I'm not his biggest fan, but he did run a real good race at Cheltenham last time out, and a reproduction of that form, although he does seem to save his best for Cheltenham. He could be a player as well because he has got himself to a nice attractive handicap mark now. But yeah, it's all looking good.
He's a previous winner at Aintree as well, Holywell, at the Grand National meeting, but not obviously.
Yeah, but it's a, it's a little different kettle of fish, that young fella.
Yeah.
It's like you running a half marathon and then a marathon. One's not easy and the other will be impossible.
While we're on the subject of the Grand National as well, Paul Nicholls and Willie Mullins, it's looking like they're going to have a quarter of the field.
Yeah, well, interesting again. But to be fair, all the horses warrant being there, and they're very fortunate they've got the horses in such numbers to represent them. And again, you know, I'm not anti that, that is for sure. I think that's all positive, and it can only lead to a really good race again, you know. So I think there's lots of ticks in boxes for those trainers having plenty of runners. And I don't begrudge them that. I mean, one or two might think, well, it's a little bit of a monopoly, but heck, you know, they're in the position that they've got the horses, they've got the owners. Kick on, I say. Because even though they got a quarter of the field, I'd have to say that they possibly might not win it, either of them.
Yeah. It does add an interesting dynamic to the Trainers' Championship as well, because should either of them win the Grand National, they would probably win the championship, because there's not much in it.
There's very little in it. It would be some feat by William Mullins to win the English Trainers' Championship, wouldn't it? You know, when he's had so few runners compared to the other guys. I should imagine that last two races at Cheltenham, actually, Paul Nicholls did a massive sigh of relief because, you know, it wasn't looking great for him, was it? And although they weren't the major races by any means, which he's used to winning, at least there were two successes at the end of the week that just made it a respectable three winners for him.
Yeah, exactly. It would have been a dry festival, wasn't it? One winner for Paul Nicholls with that kind of ammunition.
You wouldn't like to have been the Nicholls cat, would you? God, blimey.
You wouldn't. One more thing I just want to mention before we get stuck into Thursday's action. It looks like we're going to see on the fringe entry in the entry version of the Fox Hunters, and not Nina Carberry this time. She's banned. She picked up a 7-day ban in the Fox Hunter at the festival. But Jamie Codd looks like he's going to step in. He had a festival winner himself. He's pretty useful.
Very, very capable, Jamie Codd. He's ridden the horse in the past. Ender Bolger, a fantastic trainer. This horse won all three Fox Hunters last year. Cheltenham, Aintree and Punchestown. And again, to be fair, he seems to be the horse they've all got to beat. Certainly won't lack nothing from the saddle with Jamie Codd. And again, it would be a marvellous training performance and a performance by the horse if he were to go and get, you know, the English double anyway, and then if he went on to continue with the Punchestown one, that would be an amazing feat indeed. But Nina Carberry seen to great effect, as we saw at the Cheltenham Festival, and there's no finer lady rider than her.
No, there isn't. But Jamie Codd has ridden the horse before as well, so I suppose it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, and he's ridden plenty in those McManus colours, so it's all positive.
Anything else in your mind, Pimmy, or should we move on?
I think we should move on because, as normal, we've waffled on for long enough.
Yeah, I do enjoy chatting to you, Pimmy, but it's about time we moved on.
Correct.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going to look at four races on Thursday. We start in the 3:05 at Ludlow, which is a novices limited handicap chase. It's a class four event over just short of 2 miles. We've got a field of eight here, Pimmy. Which ones do you like in there?
Dead eight, good price. Just over 7,798 quid to the winner. So a prize well worth having, as so often is the case at Ludlow. They do put on extremely attractive prize money. Competitive race, as you'd imagine. But I'm going to keep this short and sweet. One or two of these guys here with the headgear on. And I'm going to go with Ascot Boy here. To be fair, he ran well enough in defeat last time out, off a mark of 120. He started his winning ways in an amateur riders race. He then went up from 96 to 111, and he got the job done nicely off a mark of 111. His second was off a mark of 120. So, you know, he's got to keep up in his game, but he's definitely one of the few for me that comes into the race on the back of some good form. Take a Break pulled up last time, Disque disappointed, Stormy Strumpet, who's not got the tongue tie on tomorrow as he did last time out, fell, Old Pride pulled up, Sir Pitt fell. Official Ben ran okay in defeat, I thought, last time out. And Bobble Baroo supports the cheap pieces for the first time. He's pulled up the last twice, having previously finished second before them two disappointing runs. So not many of these coming into the race on the back of a good run. I'm going to take a chance that Ascot Boy can defy that mark of 120.
Ascot Boy then for Pimmy in the 3.05 at Ludlow. Let's move to Chepstow next for their 3.15. This one is a Class 4 handicap hurdle. It's over 2 miles and 7.5 furlongs, almost 3 miles the trip here. And which of these stayers has caught your eye?
Well, it's a stiff old 3, as we know, at Chepstow. Again, 4.5 grand on offer here. Again, interesting little race, I thought. Brodna Hina ran okay in defeat last time out for the King Yard. Knight Line ran well enough in defeat when he was fourth at Doncaster. I thought that was a good run behind a finger on the switch. And then you've got Set in My Ways makes his handicap debut tomorrow for John Joe Neal and Dickie Johnson off a mark of 117. Again, can't really get the O'Neill yard right, so I'd nearly have to body swerve him. Petite Powers ran okay and gets the pieces on for the first time tomorrow. Horsted Valley's another interesting one. I thought ran really well behind Knight in Milan at Donny last time out, having disappointed in a very competitive race prior to that. And then his form has been pretty good, to be fair, before that. Tara Tavey was a 14-1 winner at Toaster last time out, having pulled up previously three or four times. So don't know how that form is going to stand up, especially as the horse is a levy reel now. And far from the defeats, disappointed. Royal Chief ran well enough in defeat when second last time out. And Rainbow Haze, again, is a 10-year-old who ran well enough when finishing third last time out, but again, has got a little bit to do. So I thought it's going to be pretty, pretty tight, but I'm going to stick with Nightline for Charlie Longston and Graham Watters.
Nightline then for Pimmy in the 3.15 at Chepstow. Back to Ludlow next for their 4.15. This one is a Class 3 handicap chase. It's over just short of 2 miles. And we'll start with Presenting Arms, Pimmy, if we may. Won 3 of his last 4 starts.
Yeah, he's an interesting horse. Big fan of Harry Fry and Noel Feely. Good team combination those guys are. Yes, he won well at Doncaster last time out when he beat Cooler Goo by half a length. It was just a three-horse chase, that. His previous successes have come over hurdles. But, yeah, he's definitely an interesting player, Presenting Arms. And, again, although I think his mark of 127 when he ran over his hurdles, he's up to a mark of 137 over fences. But I can understand why the handicapper has gone that way with him. So he's certainly an interesting player, Presenting Arms. But I'm going to take a chance here with the top weight here, Cluna Cool, for the Stuart Edmonds yard. I mean, he's a course and distance winner in the past off a mark of 135. Races off a mark of 140 tomorrow. Okay, you know, he ran in a grade 2 last time out at Kempton. He's beaten a long way, as you can imagine. But to be fair, you know, he's taking a big, big drop in grade tomorrow afternoon. And even off that mark of 140, which is going to be a career high, I think he's a major player.
And we finish off in the 4.35 at Wolverhampton. This is Division 2 of this Class 5 handicap. It's over 5 furlongs and 216 yards, so getting on its way to 6 furlongs, really. It's for three-year-olds. We've got 9 of them in the lineup here, Pimmy. Who would you side with in this?
A competitive little contest. I can imagine that Kestrel Call is going to head the market for Simon Crisford. I must admit, I think you can put a line through this horse's run last time out at Suttle when he was obviously disappointing because he didn't win and he was favourite. But to be fair, the time before that, he'd been very keen when he won. I think Rab Havlin thought the same was going to happen at Suttle. So instead of him jumping and letting go and thinking he was going to run a bit free, he's actually jumped and taken a pull, and he's actually, the horse has fallen right back to the back of the field. And again, he was never at the races then. So I think they've more than likely learnt from that. And I think if you can think back to his success, that was pretty impressive performance, to be fair, by him. Admittedly, he was off a mark of 65. He's off a mark of 75 tomorrow. Still got a bit to do, but I think if you can be forgiving, he comes here with a big chance. Alia, his success came in a maiden over 7 furlongs at Wolverhampton. So I suppose, you know, dropping back, admittedly, to nearly 6 might be a slight negative for him. But again, you know, he comes here in good form. And from that success just 31 days ago. And the other interesting one is Tevisham, who, to be fair even, set off winning off a mark of 60, then went to 61, races off 66 tomorrow. Irinu Goncalves is an interesting jockey booking, but I believe it's a he, and he has ridden this horse the last twice, so he knows the horse inside out. And again, despite being £6 higher than it won two starts ago, could well be a player. But I've got my forgiving head on. I'm going to forgive Kestrel Call that run at Southall and hope he gets back to winning ways tomorrow afternoon.
Kestrel Call in the selection for Pimmy in the 4:35 at Wolverhampton. As usual, let's have a little bit of a summary, Pimmy.
Yeah, OK. Starting at Ludlow with the 3:05, we're going to go for Ascot Boy. 3:15, Chepstow, the selection's Nightline. 4:15, Ludlow, Clona Cool. And finally at Wolverhampton on the artificial surface, the 4:35 goes to Kestrel Call.
Superb. Good work, Pimmy. Good to see you again. Good luck and enjoy it on Thursday.
We will indeed.
There you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Thursday's racing. You'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from 1:55pm with Natalie Kerry, Craig Forsyth and Paddy Aspel in the studio. Three meetings to look forward to: Chepstow, Ludlow and Wolverhampton. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.